There is no time, only now. So create what you want and create it now. Beingness is who you really are, your higher self, your super consciousness. Beingness is who you are meant to be. Follow the road of beingness to pure fulfillment and love, and watch your life turn around. Love you all more, all the more than words. This is a quote from my guest today, Kat Palladian Mandu, and she'll be joining us a little later. You know, there's so much going on right now with Ascension and 2012, and I really want to clarify some things. And so I found Kat. You know, we're all on Facebook, and we all follow different things, and some things resonate to us and some don't. And so really today is about clarity. It's really about moving forward with some clear information that will put us in a place of peace. And moving forward, we really need to be in our hearts and we need to be at peace. So before we begin, let me just make a few announcements first. First of all, I want to excitingly say that my app for Affirmations for Living is now available live on both Android and iPhone, and it's called Awaken. And that's a way that you can stay up to date on all of the goings on with my guest and shows, and find out about my forthcoming book that I'm proud to announce, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. So you can also book sessions with me and all that kind of stuff. So I invite you to download the app today. Again, it is called Awakened, and it's both available on Android and iPhone. And so Kat Mandu is a writer. She's a metaphysician and a teacher of transformational change. Which is just amazing. She hails from Brisbane, Australia, so quite wonderful to have her joining me today. She has been teaching and coaching in the esoteric studies for the last 20 years, and just fascinating, and I think that you will agree. So I want to give you the telephone number to call in. Now, bear in mind, we actually have people calling in already, so I want you to be patient. And if you have to hold the line, hold the line. If you need to hang up and call back, please do so. We want to get everyone's call today. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815. Okay, without any further ado, Kat, I know you're there, so please just come on in because we want to get going. So welcome to my show. You are live. And I want to say thank you for taking the time out. I know it's early in the morning there, about 10 o'clock Friday morning. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for asking me.
My pleasure. And so before we get started, you know, I spoke of that you're a writer. Tell the audience a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how your spiritual gifts came to you, because I always find that fascinating how we get our gifts, as it were. So if you would share that for a moment.
Okay. My real name is Kat Mandu. I had it changed by Deepal. The Palladian name was a differentiation mainly for Facebook, but it's kind of just stuck, so... so what? That's okay. I am a Palladian starseed. I get messages. I have been getting messages for the last 15 years from my Palladian guides ever since I became a Reiki master. And I have also since then been getting messages from Source Energy directly and also from various other ascended masters from time to time. I have a private practice. I do a lot of Reiki work. I do a lot of rebirthing work and a lot of Palladian energy healing that includes light language type things in with the healing. Basically, I just plod along day to day like everybody else, and if anybody wants to know anything then I can share my experiences with, then great. I do a lot of writing. I've written a book that's on Kindle, a very basic book, the book on meditation for light workers, which just clears up some very fundamental problems that people were flagging to me on Facebook that they were having difficulty with. So I just put it all together, and I'm doing a series of just very basic beginner type books on the next one that I'm working on is on astral traveling. Just some basic techniques to get you into the astral and to get you into overcoming that lower astral plane where people tend to get caught up in thought forms and entities, and where a lot of the newer channels that haven't done the cleansing and the preparation work and haven't neutralized their ego's system often tend to get these entities coming through from the lower astral or slash fourth. Some say it's a fourth dimension, although fourth dimension is time, but it's also kind of the what can be loosely termed for the lower astral entities as well. And we get a lot of the negative effluvia of negative thinking, the thought forms that all kind of crystallize in that area.
You know, I have to stop you just for a second, because this is fabulous that we're going here, because I actually had a call earlier today from someone, and this is exactly what I was saying. When you listen to psychics, if you go to a psychic and you go to a channel, understand that what's coming in might not always be from the highest level. And the way I said it to him was this. A third grade teacher, and no insult to anyone who's a third grade teacher, this is just, you know, using it. A third grade teacher cannot teach at a college level. They're a third grade teacher. So the information they're giving is at that level. It's not at a high enough level so that it would actually be informative to someone, you know, in a master's program. And so I wanted to clarify that to him, that not all channels, not all psychics are getting information from the highest level, because where they are vibrating at any particular time is the level at which the information will come to them. And so what you're saying is it's about taking them and helping them to release certain things so that they can step through that threshold and move to the higher energetic levels, where the information then will be a little more purer or of higher vibration and frequency. So is that something, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Basically, with this whole ascension movement, you've got everybody who has never previously been interested on a mystical path suddenly deciding that they want to jump on the bandwagon, and that's fantastic. I congratulate people for doing that. It's great. They're opening up. They're interested. They're becoming open-minded. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But we're in a society where we want a quick fix. We're used to having everything instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, a lot of these newer people come along, they've done a bit of reading, they've done a bit of this, they've done a bit of meditation, they may be seeing, you know, spaceships and things like that, or having really lucid dreams and that kind of experience, and that's great. But they wake up one day and go, oh, I think I'll channel. And I've had people emailing me saying, oh, I think I want to start channeling. I go, oh, how advanced is your meditation? Oh, I've never meditated. I'm going, hello, hello, basic criteria here.
You think? I know. And, you know, it's so very funny to me, because people will say, well, how do you have these spiritual gifts? Well, let's see. I've been, oh, my goodness. Prayer and connecting to your higher self is so critical to this, and really letting go of ego. You know, for me, it's so funny, because I was actually visited by a Syrian woman energy who said, we're ready to teach you. You need to meditate. So it wasn't like, you know, they weren't going to show me anything until you get the basics. And the basics, prayer, meditation, letting go of ego, and connecting to your higher self. And then in that connecting, right, and doing the legwork, then you're better suited and ready for more. But it's so funny, because in that instant society, people want the more without doing the homework. And you have to do the homework first. You really do.
You've got to do the work. There is no quick fix to this. I'm sorry. If you really want a quick fix, you're on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This is a mystical path. This is a path that's been followed for tens of thousands of years. Buddha followed it. Jesus followed it. Muhammad followed it. You've got to do the work. It meant, you know, these guys took, some of them took 50 years of daily meditation before they reached enlightenment.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like Coyote and Roadrunner, where you take an Acme Just Add Water enlightenment pill.
It should be that easy, okay? I would love it. However, yeah.
there's a lot of people out there, and you know, they're saying to me, you know, some of them argue blatantly, and that's their right. I have absolutely no problem with that. I'm not that attached to myself or what I say. I can change that at any time, at any moment, both of them. But, you know, when people say, oh, December 21's coming, and then all of a sudden we're all going to be in this golden age, I'm going, don't think so.
Tell me about it. So
it didn't happen like that. Yeah. And the rapture didn't happen like that. How many people had egg on their faces about the rapture? You know, it's very difficult to put a time frame on something, like a distinct date on something that is the coming out of a 432,000-year yuga, you know?
Exactly, exactly. So now let's go into that. I know yesterday was 12/12, a portal opening. I, of course, follow you on Facebook, so I know you did the 144,000 meditation. Share with us what that was about. And then moving forward, what we can do as we move forward, and specifically what we could do on the 21st or the 22nd. So let's start first with what the 144 was.
Well, the 144 were the original seeds that came to Earth to seed the planet with Sanat Kumara. Mm-hmm. Many of them were Syrians, and then following slightly later were the Palladians. And from there, that's how the Earth and the planet, and there's evidence of this in ancient Sumeria, all those Sumerian texts, talks of Nibiru, all of that kind of thing has the spiritual foundation for the population of the planet as a 3D free will experiment, basically, for the Earth, for people on the Earth, and for source energy to transfer a drop of itself into each of these beings so that it could expand of itself and become a richer source energy, growing and expanding as everything in the universe grows and expands, without exception. So the 144,000 is representative of these beings, okay? And many of them are still here on the planet.
Yes, yes.
Many of them have just followed suit. And we started up our little group on Facebook, the 144,000 light workers for Earth's ascension, and also the 144,000 light workers to fast track Earth's ascension. Don't ask me how they both ended up different, but started up the group first, and then a friend of mine took it, Manakshi, and she ran with it. So the other group started up, and you know, people were kind of saying, oh, but we don't have 144,000 members. I'm going, it doesn't matter. I post regularly to about 200 groups on Facebook, and I also had MedMob involved and a whole load of other. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that we more than exceeded 144,000 worldwide, not just from our doing, but from everybody else who were doing meditations all over the world and posting their meditations.
Absolutely.
So, That's the square root, roughly also. I think it's more around 180,000, 190,000 is the square root of the population of the Earth at the moment, of 7 billion people. And when you have the square root of the population, it reaches a tipping point. So with all of those people meditating and sending love into the heart of Gaia to radiate out into the crystalline Christ consciousness grid, we are then lifting Gaia's vibration. And she was receiving that. And
absolutely. Yeah.
That were meditating at the time could feel the love coming up from the core of the Earth. It was just phenomenal. She was feeling that. So all of these beautiful people all sending love to Gaia, all letting that love come through. It's going to filter through. It's going to have a ripple effect. It's going to filter through to people.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's wonderful. And the energy was just amazing yesterday. I could feel my expansion. I could actually feel myself expand and hold the space of love. It was awesome, to say the least. Out of body for the most part, but it was still good.
Yeah, I had a very interesting feeling because the love that I feel in my heart chakra, I was actually feeling in all of my chakras, which was kind of weird. It was like I turned into a really big heart.
So, which is a good thing, right? That's a good thing.
I'm not complaining about that. Not a problem. It's a very interesting thing to experience, and I think a few other people felt similar things. But it was this is only the beginning. You know, we can't take our foot off the pedal here.
Exactly. And the more people that participate and get into their hearts, and that's really the key of this, getting into your heart, letting go of ego, being love and being the space of love, and that will move you through.
Yeah, a little thing that kind of makes me laugh about some of the newer light workers coming on the path. You get a lot of cranky light workers. Now, what sort of an oxymoron is that? A cranky light worker. How can you have a cranky light worker?
Yeah, because they're in, I'll put it in quotes, light worker. little do they know, but that's okay because it's all about love.
If you're serious about being on the path, and I know that most of you are, but for those of you who might want to rethink that there isn't a quick fix to this, that you actually have to do some work, what you have to do is you've got to get out of those three lower chakras, and you need to do it as soon as possible. We can't pussyfoot around anymore. You need to start doing it. That means you need to weed out. You need to recognize when you're getting angry. You need to recognize when rage is arising, when blame is arising, when doubt is arising. You need to recognize how reactive you are to inflamed situations. These are our tests. These are, and as long as we have that vibration within us, we're going to keep pulling those tests in. And if we're going to fail, then we're going to keep pulling those tests in. And those people are going to keep mirroring to us those lower vibrations that we need to check. So if your anger is arising really quickly, or your rage, or your blame, it means you need to do more meditation, because the amygdala in the brain is what is reactive. It's our reaction. Primal, our primitive, our reptilian brain, and that is what reacts really quickly. And
really then we quickly.
It's the ego's call. It's the ego going, how do you say that to me? What? Don't you say that? And they get on their high horse.
Exactly. You know, I have to share an experience because this is just fabulous. A couple of years ago, I had a wellness center, and I was pulling up parking, to open the store and go in. And I got a flat tire as I'm parking. Now, I let this flat tire annoy me, to say the least. And, of course, at the end of the day, the flat was fixed, and all was well in the day, truly. Later on that night, my husband, he made it to California safely, and I'm sleeping. 4 o'clock in the morning, I hear a voice outside of myself, and that voice said, "Disconnect from an uneven temper." And it woke me up. And I'm like, who's talking to me? And the voice said it again, "Disconnect from an uneven temper." And I said, oh, you're talking about how I let that experience, affect me. And I understood it's so important as a light worker, a true one, to stay in your heart. And nothing takes you outside of your heart space. No ego, no anything. And you have to stay in the space of your heart. And I wrote that down, and I've never forgotten it. And nothing disconnects me from moving forward,
That's fantastic.
Amazing.
The trick is, I think the ticket is don't take anything personally.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that happens to you, what somebody thinks of you, what somebody says to you in a moment of anger, it doesn't really matter. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to who you are as a being. It's irrelevant to anybody else. And you can always tell, because if that person said the same thing to somebody else, you wouldn't get angry.
Exactly. But that's still ego. And so we know, as long as we're allowing things to, impact us like that, we know that we're still an ego. And so that's something that we need to transmute. We really, really have to let go of the lower aspects of ourself and allow our higher God self to truly be in control. And that's a daily prayer, is that my I Am Presence is now the divine director of my material experience. But you have to mean it.
But it's also watching yourself.
Yes.
It's also being aware of your day-to-day situation. You go out to the shop, someone takes your car apart, you feel the anger arising, you go, oh, I'm noticing that the anger is arising. And you go, okay, why am I getting so angry about this? But because they took my car park. And then you go, well, so? There's heaps of other car parks. And then you kind of go, well, yeah, okay, let's find another car park. And then the anger subsides and you kind of talk yourself out of it. And then the more you do that, the less the anger will arise because the anger knows it's not going to weigh out that way.
We have a question, so let's go ahead and take that question. We have a caller. Hello? Hello, do we have a caller? Okay, it dropped. Well, caller from the 702 area code, please call back. We definitely want to take your call. So now, Kat, we have 1221 coming up. For all of those who don't know what it is, could you share with them what it is and, first of all, what it is not? Because so many people are confused as to, you know, these dates and they think that something is concrete. They think that all sorts of, you know, UFOs are about to surround us and they're going to come save the planet. That's not happening. Okay.
Okay. 2112 is basically the end of the Mayan calendar. And that's about it. I mean, no, it's not about it, but some say that it was only the end of the Mayan calendar because they ran out of stone. But at the end, I think it's the end of the Mayan long calendar. Yes. And there's another calendar that is continuing on. But it is also the end, where we mark the end of the Kali Yuga going into the Dwapara Yuga, which is going from the Iron Age going into the Bronze Age. And that's going to be coming out of a 432,000-year cycle going into an 800,000-year cycle. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing, I think, even not just entirely for 2112, but also from this whole period that we've all been working up towards, is the fact that we've come to the bottom of the pendulum and we're going back up. And that's the important thing. You know, we can all have our golden ages within our own lifetime, within our own self, if we get our vibration into that level, okay?
Exactly.
And that's what people are starting to do. Through working from the heart, they are lifting their vibration. Mm-hmm. And when they lift their vibration, only good things happen to them. And when only good things happen to them, then basically when you're in a state of joy and love and happiness for the majority of your day, for the majority of your week, for the majority of your month, for the majority of your year, for the majority of your life,
wow,
then you're there, you know. You have no reason to slip back. So there is a lining up of energies, and I actually had a friend of mine who is a Maya, and he is leading the 2112 ritual for his tribe in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And he told me that the 8 minutes, I might just back up a little bit here. First of all, there is going to be an alignment between our sun and the center of the galaxy.
Correct.
Okay, and with that alignment comes an enormous energy, the Mayas are saying, enormous high-frequency ascension energies for 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now my friend told me that those 8 minutes are coming between the 20th and the 22nd, so that will be right in the middle is the 21st, so it'll be from 4 minutes to midnight on the 20th, going through to 4 minutes past midnight on the 21st.
Okay.
And he said that's when the Akashic records will open up to everybody. So grab a pen and paper and write down everything that comes to you in that 8 minutes. Or you can even start writing from the 20th, he said, because it will continue. It will just peak in that 8 minutes, but it will continue going through from the 20th through to the 22nd.
Okay, we have a caller, so I want to take the caller, and then we have to come back to this point because that's really cool. Hello, caller, you're on. Area code 310.
Hello, Adij.
Yes.
Hello, this is James. You know, I was really trying to listen to the show, and I was having difficulties pulling it up online, but
you're
what
on live.
I did here, Okay, I got you. But what the part that I did hear is when you guys were talking about ego and trying to move beyond, you know, the anger and the rage and things like that. My question is what is the purpose of the ego in its rightful place and using it correctly versus it being the house of all this anger and, like you would say, dysfunctionality?
Okay. The purpose of the ego, the real purpose of the ego, is to support the higher self. Okay, the ego is the moon, the higher self is the sun. So the ego should be reflecting the love of the higher self.
Now, how does it get so out of whack? I understand what you're saying, but it seems to me that the ego is just running rampant in our lives. So how do we commandeer the ego back into its rightful place practically? Okay.
Ego tends to get out of control largely through social conditioning. Because we love to disempower each other, ego likes to re-empower us and in turn disempower the person that disempowered us in the first place, and then that momentum builds up because ego starts going, oh, that feels really good, I think I'll do that and I'll do that. And it just builds up and builds up and builds up. But the purpose of the ego really is to interpret our free will experiences here on planet Earth. So it can interpret the information, it can make the choices which duality and polarity offer us in this realm, and it can give us the experience that we want to experience. And it also the ones that we don't want to experience. And the ones that we don't want to experience help us to re-choose the ones that we want to experience. We can go, oh, I'm never going there again. And then we know that we definitely want something else. So having a bad experience isn't necessarily a bad thing. But, you can re-choose. But the ego's role is to help to sift out those experiences, which are then absorbed by the higher self and in turn into source energy, and source energy is then expanding in and of itself. But when the ego becomes rampant and it becomes a separate little entity opposed from the higher self, that's in contrary to the higher self, and then you've got this dichotomy going on, this pulling and toing and froing, that is actually very uncomfortable.
And the thing that I'd like to add to that, James, is this: the ego gets falsely programmed. By all the things that are around us, through what we see out there, what we think is the truth, and it's not the truth about us. Sometimes our ego, our subconscious, can take that information in, and then it gets all screwed up. And so, unfortunately, the ego gets falsely programmed into thinking something that really isn't. And then we're offended by this little thing that someone says, and then this thing offends us, and then this thing makes us angry. That's because the ego is falsely programmed into believing things to be the truth that aren't the truth. And so your truth needs to come from your higher self. Your truth needs to come from your connection to source and not the perception that you're getting from outside sources, if that makes sense to you. And so, you know, we really have to find our value in ourself and our higher God self and not find our value falsely through the ego, through what's going on around us and what we see to be beautiful, what we see to be this. That's, you know, false programming a lot of times will impact your ego in a negative way.
Mm.
And that
good.
Discernment that we were talking about before, that creates the biggest lie of all, and that's the lie that I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lie that lies at the basis of everything that we feel bad about ourselves from. If you just strip everything back, it all goes back to I'm not good enough because of that initial, you know, disempowerment.
Exactly. Yeah. And we are good enough. And that's what we have to just keep telling ourselves. We are. We're divine. We're divine.
You know, some religions don't help when they program people to go, Lord, I am not worthy.
Yeah.
You know, you need to change that to, Lord, I am worthy.
I am worthy. Absolutely. So thank you, James.
I'm starting my reprogramming process by listening to Reverend Ed Beach every week.
Thank you, James. Very nice of you. Very cool.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we were back to the 4 minutes prior to midnight of from the moving from the 20th to the 21st. We're 4 minutes on one side and 4 minutes on the other side, and that's the space where you want to write down everything that's coming to you, because that's some really good and amazing information that would be coming to you at that time. And and that's what your friend is saying?
Yes.
Okay.
But he said you can start writing from midnight on the 20th, because the frequencies will pretty much be starting then. But they won't be as strong as that 8 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, and it's for those 8 minutes. So I know I was listening to another Mayan, and they said that, and if those things don't come true, then you didn't ascend. I'm like, whoa, that's harsh. That's harsh. Yeah. So what could you say to people out there as far as preparation? Is there anything that, you know, we could be doing now to get tuned into that? I mean, if you're not meditating already, it's pretty, you know, late in the game. But what words of wisdom could you garner on someone right now about that?
First of all, I'd say meditate, meditate, meditate. Mm-hmm. And then when you've done that, meditate. I would probably maybe look at refining your diet a little. If you feel like doing a fast, would be a really good time.
Yes.
A lot of people are fasting at the moment. So you drink lots of water, get lots of sunshine, take a walk in nature, and just basically pamper yourselves.
Yes, the compassion thing, indeed.
Yeah,
compassion for yourself.
Be good to yourself.
Now, another question, because I don't want to miss any questions that I know people have. This 3 days of darkness, I don't know where it started and why it started, but, you know, in your words, would you explain that it's not something that's happening, and I don't know. I don't even know how to word it.
The 3 days of darkness is not a new concept. We have that every Easter. I don't know how it's actually come to be linked in with the ascension process personally. I'd be very interested to hear if someone wants to call in and enlighten me, because I'm really not sure about that. But I do know that the whole Jesus on the cross coming down, the time from Good Friday to Sunday is supposed to be the 3 days of darkness, and then he resurrects. That's representative of that. Some have said that it's the sun going down and not coming up for 3 days before it rises again. But again, that's an astrological thing, that is the sun being Jesus or Mithra or Horus or whoever the sun is representative in what religion and what country, that it's actually an astrological event at certain times of the year. But I really don't know how that's linked in with this particular time of the year. So, yeah, I highly doubt my sources tell me that we're not going to have a breakdown in, essential services. We're not going to all be running around screaming. The zombies aren't going to get us.
As a matter of fact, if you're not even aware that something has happened, guess what? The day will come and go, and you won't be aware that something happened, because it's all energetically, quite honestly.
Yes, it's energetically. There might be a time where you may feel a bit depressed. You may feel a little saddened. That will be because you'll be shaking off some of the lower frequencies and getting used to going into higher frequencies, and that's not a bad thing. It's not a scary thing. We have had a lot of people that have said, I'm having a really, the energies are heavy today, and I've been feeling really depressed. And then they get over and they go, oh, the energies are really light today, I'm feeling really zippy. But it's I guess you could say it's a quickening of burning up of karma. So there's a you're preparing yourself for taking in more light. So this karma is burning up and exactly. you're letting go of old issues and things mm-hmm. like that. That can make you depressed. Or you might be thinking about something that that you're ready to release. But when we're ready to release something, we tend to think about something and we go, oh, I'm sure I thought I dealt with that. But you've got – we're onions. You keep shedding skins of the onions and it's very rare we actually get to the real core of the onion and then let that go. And a lot of this is core of the onion stuff.
Yeah, that you have to let go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you find yourself feeling – that you're thinking about a particular incident like your divorce or, you know, that person that said something to you 3 years ago or and you're feeling a bit down, just let it go. Let it go, okay? That's probably the extent of what the darkness is going to do to you.
Yeah, it's going to
– to your advantage.
Exactly, and truly release it. Now, here's another thing that, again, I continue to get questions on the Merkaba. There are some out there that feel that if their Merkaba isn't activated, that they're going to lose their memory. Don't laugh. So I'm a comedian, too. Yeah, and that we have to do things to activate this Merkaba. You know, every process needs to be organic and natural. And we don't have to do all these things in fear. And what I shared, God is simple. God is love and God is light. And anything that's in opposition of that is not of the light.
Exactly. Look, you're not going to lose your memory, okay? You're not going to lose your memory. And there's no time limit to ascension. You don't have to do it all by 21:12. You might take another 50 years. You just need to do the work day in, day out. Take advantage of these frequencies coming up, sure. But, geez, you know, just keep working at it. The Merkaba is your light body. It's a light body. We have other light bodies besides the Merkaba. The Merkaba is essentially a light body. And no, you don't have to activate it and you won't lose your memory, okay? It's okay. It will activate of itself when you
do the work.
When you have integrated the lower chakras and you're sitting in the heart.
Correct.
Okay? And, you know, there are meditations. Drumbelow does a lot of work on this. Mm-hmm. Go and check out his work. He's got some amazing, there's some great meditations and things that he's done for the Merkaba side of things. I also do a lot of rebirthing, and that gets your Merkaba zipping. But again, it's the releasing of old cloggy energy that gets you to that point.
And the key is... truly, the key is to let go of fear and get into your heart. You get into your heart truly and let go of the lower chakra energy, everything's going to activate for you. And you just rest assured that you're where you're supposed to be and things are happening organically for you. You know, this process of awakening truly has just been like I'm standing on the yellow brick road and literally I take one step in faith in front of the next and everything unfolds for me. As far as activations and things awakening and, you know, being guides coming and showing me stuff and literally touching me, waking me up in the middle of the night and bringing me to show me things. And it's like, wow. How did I get there? It's through my prayer and meditation and just staying in the heart and sincerely knowing that I'm here to be of service. And what does that look like? Great Spirit, how may I serve you today? And believing that, and, you know, that has just made all sorts of things come to pass.
Well, when you pray, you're asking Source a question. When you're meditating, you're opening your channel up to receive the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, you've got to have both. You've got to have your prayer, you've got to have your meditation. You've got to have your prayer, you've got to have your meditation. That's your full communication with Source. And a lot of religions don't allow the meditation side of things, and that's where people come unstuck because they pray and nothing happens. Or they don't get the inspiration to make it happen. Or if they do get the inspiration, they don't recognize it as being inspiration.
True. And it can come in so many ways. You have to, again, be aware, right, and understand and recognize when it shows up. And start to ask, can you show me signs of synchronicity? Can you show me? Guess what? You have guides. Everything is around you to show you so that you do get it. But you just have to open up and be aware in every moment of what's going on around you. So how would you, if someone is trying to better connect in their meditation and nothing is happening, how would you, what would you suggest to them if they were coming to you? What would you tell them to do?
If nothing is happening?
I mean, as far as if they don't feel like the guidance, the clarity is there, they don't feel like they're connecting. Because I know I had someone else say that again a couple of days ago. They don't feel like they're connecting.
Are they there too attached to meditation? You've got to be unattached to meditation. You've got to be unattached to enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're attached to meditation, then you're expecting an outcome. You're getting impatient because the expected outcome isn't happening. Meditation doesn't work like that. Meditation knows no time. Meditation knows no expectations. Okay, so for starters, for the newbies coming in and that are having a little bit of difficulty, you're going into your light state of meditation and you're watching your mind. Okay, now you can do this with breathing by watching the breath is a really good way to do it and just observing the breath going in and the breath going out. Or you can just quietly breathe and watch your thoughts. Okay, now don't fight your thoughts. Don't say, oh, damn it, I've got another thought coming up and I'm trying to meditate and I can't meditate because I keep thinking about this. And before you know it, you get yourself in a state of the total opposite of what you want to achieve.
Exactly.
Annoyance. So what you do is you watch the thought. So, okay, I'm thinking about going to lunch in 2 hours' time with my friend Judy, okay? And what am I going to have? Why am I thinking about lunch? Oh, I'm thinking about lunch. I should be meditating. Oh, there's that. I think I'll have the fish, you know, and all these things are going through and you're thinking about. So don't scold yourself. Just say, okay, I'm thinking about lunch. Give the thought, because, again, this is an ego training thing. So you're letting the ego go, okay, I'm going to have my way here. So you just say, okay, off you go. And then sooner or later, when it's had its say, when it's been heard, the thought will subside, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then another thought might arise and you're watching the thought. As long as you are watching the thought from a backseat kind of perspective, then you can observe the watcher. The watcher is your higher self, your true self, and the watcher watches with no judgment, watches in a complete state of peace, and is rather bemused by the thought. So you have this state of two minds. As long as you're sitting in the higher self, observing the thoughts, then you're succeeding. Then when the ego has had its little run and these thoughts are subsiding, it might take slower and slower for the next thought to arise in between those thoughts. While you're waiting for thought is no mind. Mm. And that is the now. And that is where you want to be. In that state, there is no past, there is no future, there is no pain, there is only peace. And that's where you want to stay. Meditation is the practice of perpetuating this state of no mind.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's absolutely fabulous. I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Now, in these last few minutes, what is there anything that you'd like to share? I'm going to have your website posted on my host page at LA Talk Radio, so they'll be able to connect with you. If anyone's feeling like they really need to connect prior to the 21st to resolve some things, that information will be on my host page. But, Kat, if you wanted to give them any, give out that website or your personal email address or something, you can do that right now.
I'm probably best to catch me on Facebook. You can add me at Kat Palladian Mandu.
Okay.
Now that's kind of where I hang. My website's a work in progress. It's not really. It's not quite there yet. It's a little bit messy, but that's okay. If anybody wants readings or anything like that, you're welcome to email me about that or anything on my webpage, any of the services I provide on my webpage. Or if you've just got a question, I'm more than happy to answer it for you as well. The thing to remember about enlightenment is you can't be enlightened unless you lighten up. It's about light. You've got to lighten up. And that's not just getting light into your light bodies and filtering down into your physical body, but it's in your mental body too. So you've got to lighten up. You've got to be happy. You've got to not take things seriously. You've got to not take yourself personally. You just got to chill out and do things that you love to do. Go to the beach, go to the shops, buy that dress, tickle that baby, whatever. Whatever makes you happy, do it.
Yes.
More of what makes you happy. And find things to be grateful for. The more that you're grateful, the more love comes to you, because that is telling Source that you're really happy with what you have. And the biggest stopping of abundance is people not being grateful for what they have.
Yes, I say that all the time. And it, regardless of what it looks like in this moment, you have to be thankful and grateful for it. And I always like to say, try to find at least 5 things every week, new things to be thankful for, and really, really be thankful for them and not just say the same things over and over again, because that's in vain. But to find something new, it could be as simple as the chipmunk came into my backyard and he spread his legs and he sat there on my back patio and he sunned himself. And I was so thankful for him in that moment to see the precious beauty of God in that little chipmunk. So it doesn't have to be something enormous and, but find it in the simplest of things, exactly where you are, and that will definitely say to the universe, wow, they like that. They like to be pleased. They like to see things that are pleasing, that brings them joy, that makes them happy. More, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have a chipmunk story. I was in the States last August, and I was in Yosemite National Park, and I went for a bit of a walk along the walkway there, and then I thought, no, I can't not meditate here. I have to. So I stopped and I had a little meditate for about 20 minutes, and I woke up, and here's this little chipmunk checking me out. I said, hello, little fella, and then I turned around behind me, and there's a deer peering out. I'm going, hello, little fella.
And that says so much to your vibration, you see, because they know and they can feel the love and they can feel the light and there's no fear. And that's wonderful. And that's a testament to why you're on my show today. And so I want to thank you. Thank you for that, because that's absolutely perfect and why you're here today, because of that.
Thank you.
So thank you. You know what? It's that time already. So I'm going to sign off with you so I can do a couple of closing little things. And I want to thank you, Kat. We will connect again real soon.
Okay. Thanks, Edward.
Love being on the show. Thanks.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Namaste. And so before I close out today, I just wanted to read a prayer to you, because that's where we are. So may the peace of God be upon this household. May the love of God be in your heart. May the light of God be in your soul. May the wisdom of God be in your mind. May the virtue and purity of God be in your feelings. May the strength and vitality of God be among the members of your household. May the health and the well-being of God be manifest through your bodies and the garments in which you wear. May the grace of God be in your worship. May the talents and genius of God be manifest through your senses. And may the fullness of the victory of your own God plan be manifest through your soul at the close of your earth life. And so I want to leave you with that. What are you creating in this moment as we move forward to 2012, to 2021 and beyond? What are you creating? And may you be blessed. Until next time, this has been Affirmations for Living. Thank you. Bye-bye.